If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 5. I'm going to give you two sets of scriptures within John chapter 5. First is John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. And the second one is John chapter 5, verse 30. Everything that I'm going to share is based on that as a foundation. Many of you know them by heart. I'm going to read them out of the Amplified. I would recommend that you, part of your daily fellowship with the Lord, that you have these at the top of the page. To me, these are tap roots for the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. Okay. I believe it's the bullseye that we're all striving for, all shooting towards. No matter how much we say around it, knowing that the Lord is our only example, and incidentally will only ever be our only example. Even Paul said, don't follow me, just follow me as I follow Christ. So he had his eyes laser-focused, single-minded, no sidetracks on Jesus, and said, as I keep my eyes on him, you're welcome to follow me, but the moment that you see me taking my eyes off of him, you keep your eyes on him. So I'll read it very quickly. Well, not quickly. So Jesus answered, saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever the Father does is what the Son does, in the same way, in his turn. In essence, I follow the leader, and my leader is my Father. The Father dearly loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, no secrets. And he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. 5:30, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get my orders. He was saying, and I know you know this, that he had one teacher, and that was the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit taught him that, he had it resident in him like you do, and he was able to do it because he had already been taught it. But there was nothing that he ever did that he was not first taught by the Lord. And then he waited, once he knew and had the revelation knowledge, he had to wait till the Lord said, okay, do it again, but I already taught you how to do it, but do it again. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As a voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous. Because I do not seek or counsel my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who has sent me. This is a year of power. I don't know what that means to you. Don't ask me what it means to me, because I would probably be as embarrassed as you were if I pointed to you and say, what does power mean to you? Because we're learning it. We're learning it. We're being taught what this power is all about. we're being taught by the teacher, by the same teacher that the Lord had. And we will have it resident in us, and we will be able to walk in it. But now we're just learning. We're taking one step at a time. Your power and how you learn it will be unique to your call, not necessarily the same power that how I learn it. And the power that I have resident will most likely demonstrate different than the power that you have. But one thing for sure, every bit of power that is demonstrated will lift him up and won't lift us up, and it'll draw all men to him and not to us. And you can have as much of that power as you want, and it will stop manifesting the moment that pride enters in. Which one of you would give any gift to any of your children or grandchildren or your best friend that it would destroy them? I don't hear anybody saying, I would. The amount of power that you, each one, will be walking in will be based on your obedience. One of the things that was said along this line, one of my favorites, becoming aware of my presence accomplishes much. Know and understand that I can accomplish, I, the Holy Spirit, I can accomplish more in a single day than you can accomplish in many lifetimes. That's something. Releasing my power in every facet of your life comes by your continual awareness and continual fellowship with me, and continually hearken to the instructions I give you by vision, by revelation, and by voice. That's exactly what John 5 was saying. Jesus operated by vision, by revelation, by voice. He's telling us that's the only way we're going to operate in the power. That is what he, and that is what we call fellowship. It's a good definition of fellowship. John 4, if you'd like to turn there. I'll just read it. John 4, beginning in, let's start in verse 32. You know the story? Well, you know the event. It's not necessarily a story. Where the Lord Jesus sat down at a well. Incidentally, he didn't sit down at the well because he was tired. He sat down at the well because his father said, I'd like you to sit down at the well. The little things, the simple things. I'd like you to sit down at the well. And why don't you just send all your, disciples away? Sort of get them out of the way, maybe, and send them into town to get something for all of us to eat. And so the Lord Jesus was sitting there all by himself, and one woman come to get water. And he asked her for a drink of water. You know the story. Then he told her entire life, not only past, not only present, but introduced the future to her. And she became excited. He wasn't even supposed to be talking to her according to the law. How many of you had events in your life where you end up talking to somebody and nobody else thinks you should be? So he sat there and he shared. And I'll read this part. The disciples come back. They want to give him something to eat. And he said, I'm not hungry. In essence, I don't need anything. And he said to them, after they said, well, why don't you want to eat? Who's brought you food, etc.? And he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And therein is this saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that within ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." The Lord said that same thing to us the following way. The Father is pleased that you will humble yourself to sit and hear the voice of his Spirit as I bring you the mind of Christ for your life. Sit at the well, wait on the Lord, etc. It is better, you might want to write this down, it is better to do one thing each day according to his mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. And the Holy Spirit said, learn to wait upon your God. I will not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. I will bring you the light of his counsel. And you shall walk as a man who walks in the light of day, where there is no occasion of stumbling, says the Spirit of grace. This, once again, is what we and he calls fellowship. One thing a day. Think this last week. I think I have them in here. What was the one thing that you did that he did through you? Just one thing a day. The pressure that the enemy puts on you to do and do and do and do and do. And the pressure that the Holy Spirit is putting on each one of us, if we could call it pressure, is he saying, become, 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 become. Become like me. Become like the example of the Lord Jesus. He is not saying, do, 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 do. Mark it down. You will be doing, but it may be only one thing. It may be only one thing. The enemy would like to give you 1,000 things to do so that he can prevent you from doing the one thing that the Lord wants you to do. Does that sound good? I know you know this also. Do you realize that your spirit, your born-again spirit, never sleeps? Do you know your born-again spirit is awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And your spirit is awake whether you're born again or not. I would suggest that you take a pad of paper and a pen or a recorder or your phone, and I would lay it next to your bed. Because when your soul wakes up in the morning, it's been sound asleep, right? And you can hear your spirit so easy once you begin to get in the habit. Why do we have dreams? Why do we have night visions? Because somehow we've quieted down our soul to the place where our spirit runs free and is excited like, whoo, I now have what I can do. How many of you go to bed at night with a problem and the next morning you wake up with the answer? Do you think that answer came through your soul? It came through it, but it came to it by your spirit. In other words, it was wanting to give you that answer all yesterday. All yesterday. Will you just slow down? I'm talking about increase your fellowship when I say slow. Just slow down with me. And let me give you the answer now. There's never a question, never a single question that you've ever asked. Not one question that your spirit has asked that he hasn't got the answer for you. He won't answer all the questions from your soul because he's not here to build your soul up. Your soul would still like to rule everything and run everything and control everything. He's not going to answer the soul questions. But every question your spirit ever asks, he's already got the answer. You know, our six friends, who, what, when, where, why, and how. That's your six best friends. Some teach there's only five. Who, what, when, where, and how. They want to leave out the why because they feel as though he never answers the why. He always answers the why first. It depends on how well you know him, the answer that he gives you. I've never asked a question to the Holy Spirit that he come up to me and said, it's none of your business. I have a lot of other people, but he's never said it's none of your business. He normally had said, because I said so. Because it's an automatic, because I said so. Please do this. Why? Because I said so. If you know him at that level, that's a great level to know. Because you're born again spirits receiving the answer, yeah, just because I said so. Son, just be obedient. Just be obedient. In every case, he gives you the answer. Some cases, he'll give you the complete reason. But the final way he answers it, and you really no longer answer why, because you've developed a relationship with him, that he says, you know, when you say why, you already have the answer inside of you. And the answer is, because it brings him pleasure. Because it brings him pleasure. Because you'll please me. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience is only hard. It's at the same level that you love him. And it's the same level that he has given his love to you for you to love him. You didn't muster it up on yourself. Everything comes from him. Everything comes through him. Everything goes back to him. And it goes through you. So he's given you the amount of love that you have for him. And the more fellowship, he gives you more love. But it brings him pleasure. Let's go to Philippians 3. You don't have to go to it. I put them out here on a sheet, so I'll just read them to you. If you... keeping notes, it's Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that by any, may, if I may apprehend, that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Verse 13, again, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind, and reaching forth into those things that are before. Forgetting those things behind is 100% forgetting those things that are behind. We've already addressed, it's been addressed over and over again, that the Lord Jesus himself is a God of the future. He's not a God of the past. According to my record in heaven, according to your record in heaven, you've never failed God because you've asked for forgiveness. The blood removed all of that past. And we've shared that, and you do that confession, you understand those principles about the blood. But when he says forgetting those things of the past, where we're headed now where we've already arrived, what we're also going to have to forget is all of the successes and all of the victories, to the point that we give him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. He'll not leave our spiritual mind. He, Holy Spirit, will bring to remembrance those good things. But if we do not make an attempt to forget the good things also, and get the way to forget it is to give him all the honor and all the glory. If you keep it, pride will enter in. Your growth and your walk both will stop. And the Lord himself will begin to resist you because he resists the pride. He resists the proud. And Paul's saying, you know, he's the one that said, I've worked harder than all of them. He's the one that said, I pray in tongues more than you all. But he's the same person in Ephesians that said, I'm the least of the least. I don't even qualify to be called an apostle. Even though I know I did all this, this, and this, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives through me. He was continually giving the Lord all the credit, all the glory. And some of us, or some of you, or all of us, have already entered in to a level of victory in your walk. We're going to have to be very careful that we don't bring those successes with us unless it's in a basket called giving the Lord the honor and the glory. Another, the way the Lord has said this to us in the past, I will just read these two. Again, I say, trust me. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and the Holy Spirit. Again, I say, trust me. I am bringing the transformation you seek as rapid as possible. I am pleased that you have chosen to allow me the time for you to be schooled and trained and nurtured your spirit. The Lamb is pleased, and the Father is pleased. Be at peace and focus on time remaining, not time lost. If you ever feel regretful about all of the lost time, if you continue thinking about that, when you become my age, you don't have enough hours in the day to think about all of the time lost. You can spend your whole life looking in the rearview mirror and go nowhere and accomplish nothing. And the Lord's saying, I'm not looking in the rearview mirror. I'm wanting you to look at time remaining. I'm wanting you to press towards the mark. Very difficult to press towards the mark when you're looking behind you all the time. Be at peace and focus on time remaining, not time loss. If you continue to focus on time remaining, you will have an abundance entrance into heaven. Just the time remaining. You will have an abundant entrance into heaven. Rejoicing over the sheaves of harvest that you gathered into the Father's granary. Last year, he said it this way. One of your favorites, hopefully, it certainly is mine. I have sent my spirit to drive double-mindedness away from the midst of you. You shall be a people laser-focused, where my will flows through you as purely and as clearly as the sunshine flows through a clear glass window to bring light to a dark world and set the captives free. No double-mindedness. Laser-focused. I'm sure that you've experienced in your private times, I'm positive, that you wonder whether the Holy Spirit has anything else to talk about or anything else for you to think about than what he's talking to you personally about. Your laser focus is not my laser focus. He's wanting our focus to get inside our hearts, and whatever he's called you to do, whatever your vocation is for him, whatever part of the body you are, he is very laser focused. I believe he's wanting us to become mature in our part very quickly. I believe he's always been that way, but he has also said that he's now able to talk to us this way. He wasn't able to at some point in time, but as a body, as a family, he's able to talk to us with a laser focus. Some of my friends, I'm surprised they even want to be around. I don't have anything else to talk about except what's coming and what we're called to do as a body. And I believe you're the same way. Let me read one other thing that the Lord's given. This is a good one. The person you esteem as being you is not the person I esteem as being you. In your estimation, the person you regard as you is the soul-ruled man. That is why you feel abandoned when your soul knows not what action to take in the natural realm. Any of you feel that way? I don't see very many hands. So I believe that all the hands down means you all feel the same way. I've never felt so abandoned. Doesn't last long, but I'm now beginning to recognize that when I feel that way, the only place to go is into fellowship. The only place to go is, and not walk, run into fellowship because I feel abandoned. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What should I be doing? Son, I only operate in peace. I don't operate in turmoil. I have brought the victory. Why are you not in peace? I've already won. Rest. 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 I can get more done today through you than you'll get done in several lifetimes. Just rest and just do the one thing that I want you to do. And there'll be two, and there'll be three. but it's probably more like one at a time. Just rest. To this hour, you have relied most heavily on obtaining direction from your soul. When your soul knows not what to do, then you esteem that you know not what to do. This is typical of the man who is still ruled by his soul. And I thought I was sold out. he brings so much. When Jesus came, did he not bring grace and truth? Every time he brings statements like this, he just brings so much grace that you can receive it. I mean, you never feel really bad or ugly, or you feel a little bit disappointed, but my grace covers it. And it is truth. But I have given you the grace first so that I could speak the truth to you. You ever get a word from the Lord, or you ever hear someone speak and he doesn't bring grace with the truth, he's out of order, no matter who it is. Even when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees, look through it. He always brought the grace for them to receive it. It was them that didn't have a good receiver. It was them that would refuse it. But he brought the truth, and he brought it in grace. I am progressively bringing you out from under the dominion of the soul. I wish you would hurry up. And you guys laugh. And when I first said that, I thought I was kidding, I said, Lord, why don't you hurry up? And he said, why don't you fast more often? You laughed at that too. But he's never late. You remember what the Lord said one time, that your desires, each one of your desires, will never ever match my longings. Pray that I can break you, that I can bring my longings. Seems like he's always one up, isn't he? It's wonderful. The person I regard as being you is the spirit-ruled man. Remember my words to you. Last week, or whenever it was, we learned, or we renewed our minds to know that every word he ever speaks to an individual, if he did not specify that word to that individual, that you're to take it like you were the only one that was to receive it. The whole word of God is the same way. He didn't tell you to take your shoes off. He told Moses. But throughout the word, every word he's ever spoken that he didn't specify an individual is for you. Every promise. This is a promise. The person I regard as being you is spirit-ruled man. Remember my words to you. Dominion is by the Spirit, son. Dominion is by the Spirit. A life that has been imparted to you, to your spirit, is the life upon which I exercise dominion. Would you say that dominion, a good word for dominion, is power? This year is a year of dominion. This year is a year of power. And he will exercise it through your spirit, not through our souls. It is your spirit that I am nurturing, praying in the spirit. It is your spirit that I am nurturing, not your soul. Next is Ephesians 5. If you'd like to go there, well, once again, I'll just read it. Ephesians 5, and the references I'm going to use is verse 14 through 21. You know it by heart almost. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're keeping notes, you can say, my blueprint. We've used it a lot, or we're using it more and more. But what the will of the Lord is for you, and understanding that will, is your blueprint, is the words that he's given you, or the words that you found within the word that you've taken ownership of. Every single thing that he has said that you've taken and said, that's mine, that's not anybody else's. He didn't specify it to someone, that's mine, every promise. Speaking to yourselves, or be not drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We've talked about taking your confessions and turning them in to songs. And most of us feel as though we should only sing them by ourselves when nobody else is listening. But you can turn them into songs. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Time, you could write this one down. This is another good one. Time could be stolen from you. Time could be stolen from you by you taking false responsibility. Time could be taken from you by your soul taking false responsibility. Your born-again spirit never takes on false responsibility. Never, ever. Once again, it's the level of fellowship that we're all wanting to walk in. But the enemy currently, from what little I see, or what I see, he is bringing false responsibility into our lives so that we are inhibited of doing the one thing the Lord's asked us to do each day. The good things. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, that hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 10, 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other man's labors, but having hope when our faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, of Christ. The way he said it to us is this. Who was it but me who gave each of you the measure of faith that you operate in to fulfill your call and your place in the body? Who was it that gave you that measure? Good question. You have the answer. You know the answer. And not all have the same calling. But all who receive the measure I give them and minister in it to their fullness will have the same reward as the next person. There is no self-exaltation within you if you stay in your measure. And not all have the same calling, but all who receive the measure I give them and minister in the fullness will have the same reward as the next person who seemed to be in the highlight, getting all the glory for it. Well, it isn't the glory he is receiving. It is the glory that I give you and your obedience to what I had you do, says the Lord. I'll read it. And not all have the same calling, but all who receive the measure I give them and minister in it to their fullness will have the same reward as the next person who seemed to be in the highlight, getting all the glory for it. Well, it isn't the glory he is receiving. It is the glory that I give you and your obedience to what I have you do, says the Lord. Part of the body. Let me read one more. I very seldom do this, but I'll read another one. For do you think that I have a reward system that pertains to your mind and the way that you think, says the Lord? My reward system is not the way that you think. Hear what the Spirit would say. For a man can walk a short time with me. I'm thinking of all those that are coming in to the message now. And some of us has been in what we call the prayer center and the seven things, the seven standards, you know, for years, okay? If this doesn't bring you, this will bring you right back down to where we all really are or where we all should be. My reward system is not the way that you think. Hear what the Spirit would say. For a man can walk a short time with me and have a great reward. Another man can walk a long time with me and have a little reward. It is not how long you serve me. It is what you're faithful with. And my reward is based on the least the person sees and the more faithful they are to me. Doesn't that shut the enemy's mouth up? I hope I get to it. I will get to it. We'll just have to start late the second service. The number of little things. I'm going to go to that right now because the Lord's saying that's more important than this. Bottom line of it is you can serve him a very short time, and if you're completely obedient with the measure that he give you, you can receive the same reward as, let's say, Pastor Dave that we think is going to be somewhere or wherever. We won't be able to get to see him. You know, he'll be somewhere in heaven at another level. And he will be there, but you will be right there with him if, in fact, you used your measure to the same level of obedience that he's used his measure. No partiality. It's amazing. He brought forth two, maybe three words. I'm going to read these and then we'll close. The following. I would say to you, says the Lord, that many of you have not even noticed. I would say to you, says the Lord, that many of you have not even noticed the little things that I have asked you to do that you did, that touched lives. Many of you have not even noticed the little things that I've asked you to do. And because you did it, someone's life was saved and changed and touched and ministered to. Give credit to every little thing, says the Lord, because in these little things, I am able now to touch someone else and rescue them and encourage them and show them my love through you. Just close your eyes or leave your eyes open, but don't look anywhere. And just think of the little things that you've just done this last week that most likely some of them you thought was your idea. And yet your walk of the Spirit, the walk of the power, the little things that you did that touched somebody's life, even if it was a smile, even if it was you were in their presence and you were in the Spirit in their presence. You weren't angry, you weren't pouting, you weren't whatever. You were just in their presence. And he's saying, he asked you to do something that no one will ever know that's part of your reward, part of bringing him pleasure. When you go to sleep at night, before you go to sleep, Lord, did I bring you pleasure today? I used to not be able to say that. Did I bring you pleasure? And he will bring to your mind the things that you did that brought him pleasure. And it may only be one thing, because he's saying, I can do more with that one thing that you did than the 1,000 that you were going to do or tried to do without me, because you weren't co-laboring with me. Let me read the next one. It gets better. Sometimes you feel the little things are little things. The little requests he makes of us, we think they're little. The Lord would say that if you only knew the power in obeying those little things, if you only knew the transformation that happens in obedience to the little things. They are not little to him. They are mighty. The next one that goes along the same line is what he gave us last year. Necessity. Live by necessity. Do what is necessary, but do it in me, co-laboring. Your family, your friends, your job, your schooling, the necessities of life are part of your equipping and training. You will be learning a new focus in me in these things. They are an essential part of your equipping. And I am increasing my life in you in these things. Laser focus on me in your daily living and set aside time for just you and me, where I can draw you into me and bring change upon change and equipping. Amen. Amen. Probably this week, and with this I'll close. I've already closed, but probably this week, either in your schooling or your job or with one of your friends or your family, there was necessary things that you did. And we see them as necessary things, and he sees them as transformational things. Love you. See you in 30 minutes.